Welcome to the Vertical Vision Podcast with Ernest Finklia. Here we use the Word of God to gain biblical perspectives and direction for daily life. You can contact us by email at verticalvision316@outlook.com. And now, here's Ernest.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today we're going to look at the importance of listening to the Lord, specifically obeying the Lord. And I believe that obedience to the Lord is probably the most important thing that we can do. And there's a few reasons why I say this. Number one, He's God and He deserves to be obeyed. Number two, it's a way that we express our love to the Lord. Jesus Himself said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the third reason is this: everything that the Lord says is good and right and perfect. And when we obey Him, it's going to bring about what is good and right and perfect for our lives because He cares about us. And anytime He tells us to do something, it's because it's for our best. And when we obey that, we're going to enjoy His best for our lives. And I want us to focus in on chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. And this is a situation where Jesus is telling Peter to do something that doesn't make sense to him, but when Peter obeys, it drastically changes the situation and the trajectory for Peter's life. And just to give you an idea here as we look at this, this is not the first time that Jesus and Peter have interacted. There's already a relationship that's been established. Peter's brother, Andrew, was a follower of John the Baptist, and then when he met Jesus, he turned around and introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. And we also know from Luke chapter 4 that Jesus had been to Peter's house at least once and healed Peter's mother-in-law. So there was already something there, but now Jesus wants to take his relationship with Peter to a whole new level. And He wants to take Peter's life to a whole new level. And it simply begins by Peter obeying what Jesus tells him to do. So let's take a look. We're going to begin in chapter 5, verse 1, and just take it all the way through verse 11 and look at how this pans out. "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around Him and listening to the word of God, He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and He saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the land. And He sat down and continued teaching the crowds from the boat. Now when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch.' Simon responded and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats to the point that they were sinking. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And likewise also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching people.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him." So Jesus is teaching the Word of God to this crowd. And they're so tightly pressed against him that he gets into Peter's boat and asks Peter to put out just offshore just a little bit, because there's places around the Sea of Galilee where the land slopes gently down and sometimes not so gently down to the seashore. And it creates kind of like a natural theater. So Jesus put out and got a little space from the crowd and used the water to help carry his voice to the people. And when he was done speaking to them, he had a word for Peter. And it was to go and put the boat out into deeper water and throw in the nets for a catch. Now, the interesting thing about this is what Jesus tells Peter to do is inconvenient, first of all. We know this because the boats have been brought up on shore, and they had washed the nets. So they'd been fishing all night. And Peter, you know, tells Jesus that they fished all night. They toiled. They worked to exhaustion is really what it means. And nothing came of it. And now they had put all of their equipment up. The boats were parked. Everything was done. And it was just time to call it a day. And now it's at this time when Jesus tells them to go back out and put the nets out into the water again. It's also not the best time to fish. The nighttime when the fish came to the surface was the best time to fish. And now Jesus, as the day is heating up, is telling Peter to go when the fish are going deep to go cast the nets in. So this, again, was not convenient for Peter. And it didn't make sense. I mean, think about this. Here is Jesus, the professional teacher and the professional carpenter, telling Peter, the professional fisherman, how to do his job, okay? Now, the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus says master, okay? And that word literally means commander. He had seen enough of what Jesus could do and heard enough of Jesus's teaching to where he had the respect for Jesus and saw him as his commander, his master. And so with that mindset, he said, look, this doesn't make sense. We're tired. It's inconvenient. But because you tell me to do this, I'll go ahead and do it. And we see what happens. Jesus, you know, has him go out. He throws the nets in, and they have a catch like they could have never imagined. So here they are, they're working in their own power, doing it everything in their own wisdom and expertise, and nothing's coming of it. But as soon as Peter obeys Jesus' word, the entire situation changes. They went from not making any kind of headway in their business that night. They weren't going to bring home any fish. There was going to be no income for that day's work, to where they had a huge surplus of fish and the income was going to be gigantic. God bless them, okay? So that situation changes. And how often do we find ourselves tackling situations and issues and problems in our life, and we do it by our own wisdom, our own expertise, and we work at it and work at it. We do everything we know to do, but nothing comes of it. And yet, as soon as we obey the Lord and do what he tells us to do, everything changes. Now, it may not be immediate like it was with Peter, but nonetheless, obeying the word of the Lord changes things, okay? And so what we see here is not only does the situation change, but then Peter has a greater understanding of who Jesus is and who he is. Do you notice that Peter drops to his knees at the knees of Jesus? They're in that boat still. And he asks Jesus to depart from him because he's a sinful man. He realizes the power and the glory of Jesus, just a glimpse. And he sees himself as he is, and his unworthiness to be in the presence of the Lord. And he can't help but think about Isaiah when he saw a vision of the glory of God. and the throne of God. And he fell to his knees and he said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and of a people of unclean lips," basically saying, "Oh my word, in the light of who God is, I am a sinner. Woe is me." And we see in that issue or that situation, I mean, with Isaiah, that the Lord touches Isaiah and makes him whole, makes him clean, and then uses him for his purposes. And that's exactly what he does with Peter. He's like, "Peter, okay, now I have something new for you. You're going to be a fisher of people. You're going to catch people for the kingdom of God." Not only did the immediate situation change where he had fish and he was able to provide for his family, but his life trajectory was changing at this moment too, as he humbles himself before the Lord. And this is important because when the Lord tells us to do something, okay, in all probability, it's going to challenge some areas of our lives, all right? When we look at what happens here with Peter, when Jesus tells him to put out into deep water in the morning and cast out his nets, Jesus is challenging his expertise, and he's challenging Peter's self-sufficiency and self-reliance. And we see this time and time again with Peter, where he just is a take-charge kind of guy. He wants to have everything under control. And what Jesus is showing him right here is, "Peter, you don't have everything under control. You think you're the professional fisherman, but I created the fish. You go finding the fish. I tell you where to go find them." And so this is the way it is with Jesus, where, you know, we can be self-sufficient, we can be control freaks, and the Lord will tell us to do things that will challenge our control issues. And if we humble ourselves before him, then we're going to see wonderful results as our lives are changed by his work in our life. And we see this concept throughout the Bible. And I just want to give you a few examples here really quick about this, because this is really important for us to really take to heart, because God wants to change us. He wants to conform us into the image of Christ. And so if you go back to Exodus chapters 3 and 4, we have God giving a word to Moses. And when God spoke to Moses and told him to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, God was confronting Moses' fear. And we have two chapters almost of Moses arguing with God, telling him that he doesn't want to go. And even goes so far as to tell the Lord, "Hey, go find somebody else. I'm not doing it." Okay? And nevertheless, the Lord does not give up on this guy. He works with him and works with him. And Moses thinks he knows what's best for him. Moses is content to tend sheep in the wilderness for the rest of his life. But God wanted more from Moses. He was going to have him lead his sheep, his people, Israel, out of captivity into the promised land and the promises of God. What a much better calling on life. And when Moses yielded, everything changed. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a great Syrian general, and his name was Naaman, second-hand man to the king of Syria, right-hand man, I should say. And the guy ends up getting leprosy, and he's got a servant girl who's a Hebrew. And she says, "You know, there's a guy over in Israel who does miracles. He's a prophet. Why don't you go see if he can help you out?" So Naaman grabs a group of people and heads out to Israel and finally figures out where to find Elisha. And God gives Naaman a word through Elisha, and Elisha gives that word to his servant Gehazi to give to Naaman. Okay. And the reason for this is that God was confronting Naaman's pride. And we see this because as soon as Gehazi comes out and meets Naaman, Gehazi tells him, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be healed. Naaman was upset, to say the least. He said, I don't believe this. I come all this way to see this prophet. He doesn't come out to even see me. I was expecting him to come and meet me and wave his hands over me or do something so that I would be healed. But he doesn't even come to me. He sends his servant. And then I'm told to go and dip 7 times in this dirty Jordan River to be healed. Forget it. There are a lot better and cleaner rivers in Syria. And Naaman's servants said to him, you know, he didn't tell you to do something difficult, Naaman. Why don't you just do it? What do you have to lose? And see what happens. And so Naaman humbles himself and goes ahead and dips 7 times in the Jordan. And we're told that his skin became like that of a baby. But not only did that situation change, so did the trajectory of Naaman's life. Because at that moment, Naaman knew that the God of Israel was the one true God. And from that day on, he became a servant of the God of Israel. God had more for Naaman than just the healing of his body. He wanted to save his soul and change his life forever. And then how can you not think about Mary? Here's this young girl, and God sends a word to her through the angel Gabriel. And it is not a convenient word. You know, she's a virgin, and Gabriel says, all right, the Lord is going to have you conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be the mother of the Savior of Israel and of the world. That didn't make sense. She said, okay, I've got some questions here. I'm a virgin. How can this be? And Gabriel tells her how God's going to do it. And you've got to love how she responds. She said, may it be done as you have said. Your maidservant is actually, may it be done to your maidservant as you have said. And that is so awesome that her heart is humble. And as she does it, God is confronting the impossibility of things in Mary's life. There's no way she can become pregnant without a husband, without somebody, a man to impregnate her. It's just not going to work. But all things are possible with God. And God does the miraculous in her life. And the situation changes and the trajectory of her life changes forever. And so keep these things in mind. God wants what's best for us. And think about these things here, okay? How powerful the Word of God is, all right? At the Word of Jesus, the universe and all things that are seen and unseen were created. At the Word of Jesus, demons flee. At the Word of Jesus, the dead are raised and sick are healed. At the word of Jesus, raging storms and seas are silenced. At the word of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. So to obey the word of God is absolutely vital, because when we do it, it is going to bring about the best things for our lives. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, God is talking to Joshua, and he has a word for him. Joshua is going to take the place of Moses as the leader of Israel. This is something that is absolutely new to him, and it's a daunting task. But listen to what God says to Joshua. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This is the key to having a successful life in every area of life, is obeying what the Lord tells us to do. Now, He may not be telling you to leave your job and go into full-time ministry like He told Peter to do, okay? But He does tell us in the Bible that we are to see our jobs as a ministry, and we work unto the Lord and for His glory, and we let our light shine before people so that they see our good works and bring glory to the Lord. Okay? So that's something we can obey. We know what the Lord wants us to do. He may not be telling us to lead a nation like He did Joshua, but if we're parents, He's telling us to lead our children. If we're a husband and a father, He's telling us to lead our families in the ways of God. And think about other areas where maybe the Lord's been talking to you and telling you to do something. Maybe He's telling you to forgive somebody. Maybe He's telling you to love somebody that's not really lovable. Maybe He's telling you to serve in some capacity for Him in church, or by reaching out to your neighbor and sharing the love of Christ with them. Maybe He's telling you to spend more time with Him. Or maybe He's been telling you to give your life to Him so that you might be saved. See, the Lord, I believe, is always speaking to us each day. He's speaking to us every time we go into the Word of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us too throughout the day. As we go about our day, He's giving us instruction or convicting us of something or encouraging us. We need to listen. Jesus will always tell us to do what is best. We may not understand it. It may confront things in our lives that we don't necessarily want confronted. It may be impossible, but may our response always be, "Master, at your word, I will," and then watch what happens.
We would like to thank you for joining us for this episode of the Vertical Vision Podcast. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions or comments at verticalvision316@outlook.com. Stay tuned for more episodes.